one more time, everybody. I will trust in the Lord. Come on now. Again, in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Father God, that we can trust in you. Oh, hallelujah, we can trust in you no matter what it looks like, no matter what they say, no matter, oh, hallelujah, how we feel. But we can trust in you until we die. And we thank you right now, Lord. Oh, hallelujah, we thank you for Jesus. We thank you for your precious Holy Spirit. And we thank you for your word today. Oh, hallelujah, Father God, we ask that you would take us down into your word. Father, we need to hear from you. Oh, hallelujah, we don't need to hear from man, but we need, Father God, to hear from you. So send your word today. Send your word, Lord God. Oh, hallelujah, prepare our hearts to receive your word. And we want to say thank you. Oh, hallelujah, thank you. Oh, we praise you right now by saying thank you, Jesus. For it's in Jesus' name we pray and give you thanks. Thank God. Amen. Amen. God bless you. May that be true. Giving honor to God and to the pastor of this great church, Pastor Waller, and to the pulpit associates, Reverend Collins and Reverend Cosby, whom I just met, amen. And to all those that have gathered, I don't want to start calling names. You know who you are, amen. But it's good to be here once again in the Providence Baptist Church. And let me just tell you a little, some might not know who I am. I'm Elder Ronald Moore, of course, from Emmanuel Full Gospel Temple, Church of God in Christ. But I'm also a son of this church. Amen. Let me take you all the way back. My great uncle was the founder of this church, Reverend R.C. Lamb, Sr. Amen. My mother, Mary Moore, who's 95, one of the oldest living founders of this church. Founding members, you know what I mean. And I'm just glad to be here. Amen. I didn't want any long introduction because most of you know me. You know, I didn't need to sing, Brother Kingston. Amen. Find out some stuff after all these years. Amen. I saw Deacon Hill. I saw him Uncle Hill. That's what I called him. Saw him walking down Jonathan Avenue. It was a surprise. He was taking his steps, amen, with his helper lady. He had his little help with him. Amen. We thank God for being here. hope you would indulge me to just talk to you a little bit today. Is that all right? I enjoyed this, the musician. I had to look around. I thought I was doing a coaching trip. Hey, now I should have brought my horn with me. Hey, man, I'll bring it next time. Is that all right? Amen. We thank God for all of you being here. I am going to call some names, because I see some folks I haven't seen in a while. Lori over there. Amen. God bless you. Of course, Mr. Lancaster, I see him everywhere. Who else I see out here? Well, of course, my family, I'm not going to name all of them. Y'all know who they are. But my Aunt Josephine, the Josephine Challenge. Somebody remember her? She attended Providence. I know you remember. How many years, Aunt Jo? That many years ago. Amen. Amen. We're just so glad that she can be here with us today. And then I have a friend who came to visit with us today, Roz Henderson. You can wave or do what you do. Amen. She came from Sewell, New Jersey. She's over there in one of those big churches. Bishop David Evans. Amen. But we just thank God for all of you being here. We're going to get right into the word today. This is homecoming. Amen. And I'm glad to be back home. Amen. Amen. Now, most of y'all know me. I'm a little different than some other preachers. I think that's a good thing. So I'm going to call on you to assist me if you don't mind. I need you to stand up. Turn to your neighbor. Look them right in the eye. No smiling. Stare at them for a minute. Now repeat after me. Say, neighbor, who do you think you are? Oh, Lord. No, y'all don't repeat that. That was great. Okay, now, no point of shaking fingers. We want you to, some of you, I thought y'all done this before. Turn to the other neighbor and say, no, think of the neighbor part, because y'all not neighbors. Just look at him and say, what an attitude. Who do you think you are? Now give God some praise. Amen. Amen. You can have a do you think you are? When someone asks you that, it's usually said in an offensive manner or tone. It's associated with something you did or said that has directly affected the person addressing you, whether you know it or not. You did something. The question is also rhetorical in nature in that it offers no opportunity to respond. They're not waiting for you to actually tell them who you think you are. It also may be a rapid series of questions following this encounter, such as first repeating, who do you think you are? And then, do you hear me talking to you? What? I'm dead out. Who do you think you are anyhow? Now, that's not the same type of question that will be asked this morning. That particular exercise has nothing to do with the message. I just want to know how y'all act. See, y'all a little nervous in that way. Wondering if you passed the test. However, the question still remains, who do you think you are? And most of us, when we're asked that question, respond with an answer to satisfy the person asking. We haven't thought long and hard enough to give a true response as to who we think we might be. And so we're left without really a verbal answer and continue to display our thoughts of ourselves by the lives we live. You see, our actions speak louder than words. Who we think we are comes from our experiences in life. Whether good or bad, they shape who we think we are and who we become. Somebody say amen. See, I used to be Baptist, now I'm Church of God in Christ. That don't mean a whole lot except a lot of amen. Amen. All right, I'm home. All right. For instance, if we're constantly given our way early in life, we become the spoiled adults who think we're entitled and should have everything our way. If we're mistreated and abused in our early years, we grow up thinking that we're undeserving of anything good and accept only the bad as our just reward. And those who were truly loved as infants, encouraged and cared for, as well as properly disciplined, amen, become the shining stars of the nursery, the most likely to succeed in high school, and the high achievers in college and the corporate world. Let's look at the sports world, for example. You know, Venus and Serena. Their fathers told them that they were going to be great all their lives. They took them to the side and disciplined them, is that right? And they became who they thought they were. We also think we are who we are because of what we have done and not done in this life, our achievements. We base our value and purpose on tangible things. The jobs we have, the things we possess, our family names, you know, the Kennedys, the Rockefellers, the Moores. The cars we drive, the places we traveled, and on and on and on. All these shape our thinking as to who we are and who we think we are. And consequently, they shape our actions, the way we live and the way we treat those around us. So the question is no longer, who do you think you are, but rather, what happens when you think you are who you think you are? You don't get that? You see, what are the results of our thought of ourselves? Like, what happens when we think of ourselves in a certain way? Look at somebody and say, so who do you think you are? You see, we make choices based on who we think we are, where we live, who we marry, or who we don't marry, who our friends are, who our friends aren't. We base all of these on who we think we are. We treat others based on who we think we are. I don't know if you know this, but hurt people, but love people. And so discouraged people and insecure people make others feel insecure. You know, we live our lives not according to what someone else thinks of us. They are who we thought they were, but rather who we think we are. And we go as far as thinking people are thinking of us, and we react to those thoughts. most times in error. Oh, they think I'm just going to lay down and let them walk all over me. Well, they got another thought coming. And the other person looking at us crazy, like, well, where did all this come from? Amen. Why are you treating me this way? Why are you saying those things? Well, those thoughts come from left here. Over there. But no. See, my right, your left. Over there. That's where those thoughts are coming from. Somewhere from left here. But you know, these folks aren't really even thinking about you. As the old folks said, they ain't studying you. You're a mirror to them. When they look at you, they see themselves. And you think they're really looking at you. So we take it real personal, don't we? I don't know why they said that to me. Well, if you really understood it, they're really talking to themselves. Amen. Even when it's personal, don't take it personal. Who do you think you are? And you know, we become who we think we are. Amen? If we think we're not better than most, then we become bullies or recluses. We will pick abusive partners to further validate who we are and sabotage ourselves at every turn of success. If we think we're better than everyone, we become self-centered and obnoxious. Amen. You know, folks, you can't stand at your job. Make sure somebody ain't preaching somewhere and they talking about you. Y'all don't get these little side things, do y'all? Y'all not following real close here. All right, thank you, Steve Fisher. See, we're always fighting everyone and everything just to have our way. That's those who think they're better than everybody else. But if you know we're not better or worse than most, then we become well-grounded, centered, and pretty stable, socially accepted and well-adjusted human beings. We handle success and failure with poise and grace. Amen? I'm going to get to the text in a minute. I just need to talk about us a little bit more. Y'all don't mind, do you? Now, don't let some of us think we're beautiful and talented. Lord, have mercy. Beauty and talent are just what they are. Temporary gifts from God. Amen. They will fade and sometimes come to a crashing end. Talent and beauty are expressed by what we do. You know, you can name the few that you have in your mind. Muhammad Ali, Whitney Houston, Halle Berry, Tiger Woods. You can just go on and on and on, naming those folks who have shown us how beautiful and how talented they are. But beauty and talent have little to do with who we are. They have little or no bearing on our very character. The character, Sister Rise, is how we act when nobody else is around. Now, I know they still have those little cameras on your computer, so make sure you turn them off. See, character is when nobody else is around. See, we look real good with each other. Amen? But your character speaks when no one else is listening. Amen. In fact, this beauty and talent often in conflict with our character. That's why these beautiful, talented people live scandalous lives. Look at Tiger Woods. No, let's not look at Tiger. So in other words, what we do is not who we are. And I hope we get that. All the stuff that we do is not who we are. Amen? See, we think by doing certain things, it adds to our character. Amen. Now, Brother Feaster, he said that added to his repertoire, but didn't add to his character. Amen. We already know Brother Feaster. We already know what kind of person he is. Whether he sings or not, he's who he is. You don't mind me picking on me, please. All right, it's too late anyway. So these talented and beautiful people, they live lives according to how others see them and what they do, but it doesn't have anything to do, and I hope we're understanding this, so that we can stop trying so hard to be like somebody else. Amen. So we can stop so hard trying to drive what other folks drive. Trying to wear what other folks wear. This ain't other people. Oh, hallelujah. So that we can stop trying to keep up with the Jones. You see, you can't keep up with them. They refinance. And I'm not trying to suggest that ugly, no talented people are better. Amen. But they do try harder, don't they? Amen. We think we're all that because of the reaction we get from other folks, from the public. And now, none of us here have to worry about that. We're not all those beautiful, talented folks. Amen. But who do they think they are? All right, I'll leave that alone. Let me get to the word so we can go home. Because, you know, if the preacher doesn't give a scripture, he's not preaching. Well, I've been preaching already. Amen. Y'all can tell me I'm preaching. Hallelujah. Thank you, Joe. I propose that we find out who we really are by asking the one who really knows us. Now y'all think that's my brother Rick, right? He knows me, but that's not who I'm talking about. Amen? We're not talking about our close relatives. We're not talking about our friends and family. Amen? We're talking about the one who made us. We've heard the scripture in Psalms 139, and I like to read it in the Amplified. We're not going to read the whole thing, and thank you for reading that scripture for us. O Lord, Psalms 139, David writes, O Lord, you have searched me thoroughly and have known me. You know my down sitting and my uprising. You understand my thoughts afar off. You sift and search out my path and my lying down, and you are acquainted with all my ways. You see, God knows us. He knows where we are, and he knows what we do, and he knows how and what we think. He knows who we think we are. And that's why we go through what we go through. You see, God created us to be a certain way. And when we're not what he made us to be, then he has to allow circumstances and situations to help bring us back to what we are supposed to be. But we fight that now, don't we? Or we struggle against that in the Pentecostals, and we say, the devil's a lie. Amen. Not even realizing that we're the ones, all of us living a lie. We're the ones that have caused ourselves to end up where we are. Oh, hallelujah. For God knows us. We are who God created us to be. It says in the 13th verse, if you skip down, it says, for you did form my inward parts. You did knit me together in my mother's womb. I will confess and praise you. For you are fearful and wonderful, and for the awful wonder of my birth. Wonderful are your works, and that my inner self knows
right love. You see, when we were born, we knew we were special to God. Babies think they're all that. Amen. That's why they cry and you give them a bottle. They keep crying and change the diaper. They cry a little bit more you feed them. Is that right? Babies deserve that kind of attention. They're made by God. Well, some of y'all don't believe that they deserve that kind of attention. Amen. You know, late at night, I know, 3, 4, 5 in the morning and all that. But that's a baby. Amen. He's supposed to cry out and receive what he wants. Amen. And, you know, these are wonderful creations of God. But as we grow, life, our experiences, and the people around us, especially the people around us, distort and our thinking and shape us into something other than that wonderful creation that God made. And I'm not suggesting all of us grew up having a hard time. Amen. But life can be cruel. And we will experience pain and disappointment, failures along with our successes. But God knows all that. Amen? It says in the 15th verse, my frame was not hidden from you when I was being formed in secret and intricately and curiously wrought as if embroidered with various colors. This is from the Amplified Version. In the depths of the earth, a region of darkness and mystery. In 16, he says, your eyes saw my unformed substance. And in your book, all the days of my life were written before ever they took shape. When as yet, there was none of them. You see, God knows within us. And the world is trying hard not to let it come out. Oh, hallelujah. There is greatness right here among us. Amen. Look around. There's greatness right here among us. But some of us are living so beneath our potential that when we wake up in the morning, we just discard what God has seen in us. Oh, hallelujah. Every now and then it seeps out and we see it, but we quickly plug the hole. We don't want none of that greatness coming out. What will people think? Somebody may look at me and say, well, who do you think you are? And we go on living a mediocre life. God created us to be salt and earth. Salt and light, I'm sorry, in the earth. He created us to be salt and light in the world around us. Amen?
Amen.
Salt. He didn't say salt too. Some of us are real salt. But he created to be salt in the world. You know, salt added to anything makes it taste better, doesn't it? No? All right. But you know, too much salt can just ruin the meal. Not too much, but just enough. We are supposed to be salt in the earth. When you arrive, things are supposed to taste good. When you show up, amen, you're supposed to make that place better. Not bitter, but better. Amen. But we don't do that, do we? We know what to say, but we won't say it. We know this looks good in our hat, but we're not going to compliment her all. Amen. We know that folks, the musicians sounded good today. But we're not going to pat him on the back, Bob, and say, y'all did good, especially the drummer. Oh, man, he was tearing it up. That's for real. He was real tearing it up. You see, we're the salt of the earth, and we're supposed to make life better for somebody else. Oh, hallelujah. Turn to your neighbor and say, make life better. We need to give somebody a hug every now and then. You see, salt preserves. It makes things last longer than the expected shelf life. Amen? When you're salt of the earth and you're around folks, they want to live longer. Amen. They say, well, I'm not going to tell any jokes. I was going to say something, but the Spirit always stop that. I'm going to keep on moving. The salt preserves. And if you really are the salt of the earth, you will help somebody to live. Amen. We tell folks we love you to death. They tell the truth. You can love folks to life. Amen. Don't love me to death. Some folks trying, but I'm not going to let it. I ain't going to let it. God created us to be loved. Unlike talent or beauty, love never fails. Amen. Love is a gift that we possess, and it expresses who we are, not what we do or how we look. Amen. You can't do love. You have to be love. Oh, hallelujah. Let me tell you, you can't act like you love folks. You got to be love. See, folks can see through that. They can feel that. You know, I love you. No, you don't. It don't even sound right coming from you. Yes, I do. I really do. So why don't we know what God has created us to be? Me and Brother Collins were talking about this. He asked what was the central theme, and we were discussing it up here. He said, some folks forgot who they are. I said, some folks never knew. But so why don't we know? And it's because we don't ask. Amen. We don't ask, and David wanted to be what God wanted him to be. It says that David was a man after God's own heart. So that's why he wrote in the 23rd verse, search me thoroughly, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. That means test me out. Amen. And see if there's any wicked or harmful, hurtful way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. See, we don't want to be searched. Some of y'all don't want to be searched by the police. I understand that. But most of us don't want to be searched by God. Amen. We don't want God to dig up, turn over, look into our lives. I mean, he sees it anyway. But we think we hide something. Amen. I wish I had time. I got time. We don't want to be searched by God. What is really searching? What does that mean? Well, search means to go or look through a place, an area, etc., carefully in order to find something missing or lost. That's what searching is. So ask yourself the question, what's missing in your life? You see, we can't have peace until we get all the pieces. When something's missing in your life, you really can't live a complete whole life. And that's why folks, you know, they go to California. I got a son out in California. They're searching for themselves. Amen. Trying to find themselves. Did anybody say that? Amen. Then when they find themselves, they're scared. Amen. They didn't know that's who they were. But God knows what's missing, and he wants to help you regain it. So let him search your life. Searching means to look at or examine a person or object carefully in order to find something concealed. And many of us have hidden qualities. We hold back and we shrink away from our very purpose in life. Somebody told us, well, we're not going to be nothing. You know how some folks raise their kids. You ain't nothing. Ain't never going to be nothing. It'll be just like your dad, just like your mama, you know. And so we have great regrets, but we conceal it. But if we let God search, oh, hallelujah, he can bring out that thing that somebody squashed years ago. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Many of us die with the music still in us. We know we have it and we refuse to share it. Some people would be great partners if they would only allow those qualities the surface. And then finally, search means to explore or examine in order to discover. Some of us have gifts and talents that have yet to be discovered within us. And that's why some folks wait till they're 60 and 70 before they become great. Amen. The world tells you you're supposed to work like crazy and retire. Amen. Sit back and do nothing. But God is saying, oh no, I created you for a lifestyle. Oh, hallelujah. You see, we're not supposed to rust out. We're supposed to laugh. Thank you, Jesus. Some folks say, I'm already worn out. Lord, have mercy, my knees, my back. But God says to do what you're supposed to do, what your purpose to do. Amen? Is this helping anybody? Well, we're almost done. Verse 23 says, search me thoroughly, O God. This is what David requested. This is what some of us ought to request. God, search me. Not to condemn me, but search me so I can know who I am. I'm not who I thought I was. Who do you think you are? He says, and see if there's any wicked or hurtful way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. You see, some of us think we're more than we are. Unfortunately, many think we're less than we are. But none of us think that we're hurtful, harmful, or wicked. Now do we? See, when we hurt somebody, we figure they deserve it. Amen. You know, we have our reasons and our excuses why we say what we say. Well, my back was hurting. That's why I was short with you. Take a cup of Tylenol, you're still short with them. But David says, check me and see if there's any offensive way in me. We'll say, well, that's just me. You know how I am. So you ought to just stay away from me. And where do you think these older folks, not that people that died around them, but older folks at home by themselves, where do you think they came from? They was young folks by themselves. Amen. Folks couldn't stand to be around them. Y'all know people like that. Amen. You see them coming and you hope to see them go. Amen. But David says, search me and see if there's anything offensive in me. And then what we're supposed to do, oh, hallelujah, we're supposed to praise God for our birth. We're supposed to praise Him because we recognize that we're fearfully and wonderfully made. Oh, hallelujah. See, somebody told you wrong. You really are beautiful. You really are handsome. You really are intelligent. Because that's how God made us. See, God doesn't make any cherry kids. Amen. Even those who may not have the same qualities as others, God loves them just as much. We need to be careful calling folk names. And we have a thing, you know, we like to look at folk and, you know, ridicule kind of who they are. But see, we don't know who they are on the inside. Everyone is fearfully and wonderfully made. Amen? Oh, hallelujah. Look at him and say, you're fearfully and wonderfully made. Oh, hallelujah. See, you may not recognize it, but God does. Thank you, Jesus. And so we need to get with God and stop talking to all these other folks who don't really know you or want to do you good. Hey, man, you know how folks are. They don't have nobody, so they don't want you to have nobody. Yeah. I will take that out of you. Yeah. Hey, man, I tell them where to get off. As soon as you get them off, they got off. I need to stick to the notes. Y'all get to meddling when I ain't on the notes, you understand? But we're done. We're really at the end. We need to understand how God made us. It doesn't have to do with what we do. It has to do with who we are. Because some of us have made some horrible mistakes. But that's not who you are. That was something you did. Amen? And folks will have you just all twisted in your mind. I wouldn't have done that if I was you. No, you would have done it if you were me. Because I did it. Amen? But see, if I was you, I wouldn't tell me that you wouldn't do this if you were me. Amen. my pastor used to say, take 6 months and mind your business, and take the next 6 months and leave my business alone. You should be set for the whole year. But God has made us in such a wonderful way, and we've allowed the world to turn us into something bad. And so finally we should tell the Lord, search me, Lord. Oh, hallelujah. Show me. Show me me. I don't have to know what this other person's like. Oh, hallelujah. All I need to know is how I am. Thank you, Jesus. And I don't need to ask you how you think I am. I need to know what God says that I am. Oh, thank you, Lord. You see, he made me this way. I really don't care whether you like me or not. Is that right, Judy? Do I really care? I really don't care. What I care about is what God says that I am. And you know, if you are who God says you are, then he just might be right. Oh, hallelujah. Folks just might love you. But everybody won't. Because when they see the God in you, they want to destroy that. But make sure you know where you come from. So then you'll know where to go. Show me this. I'm not all that I should be, but thank God. Oh, hallelujah. I'm not what I used to be. Show me me, Lord. Show me that envy in me. I wish I had somebody else's car. I wish I had somebody else's house. I wish my rug was blue instead of red. You understand? Show me me, Lord. Show me my insecurity. Why I just can't seem to get ahead. Every time I put my hand on my head, somebody says, you ain't nothing. I pick my hand down. Show me my insecurity. Show me my lack of faith. Oh, I love the Lord. He heard my cry and pitied every groan. But still, when the times get hard, I lack faith. I don't believe that God's really going to get me through. So you need to show me me, Lord. Oh, hallelujah. Show me my insincerity. Oh, we are so sincere sometimes, but we're sincerely wrong. Oh, hallelujah. We want to say, I'm going to pick you up. I'm going to do this and do that. And we seem at the time to be sincere. But we stand waiting, looking for them, and they don't show. We wake up a phone, and they don't call. So God, show me my insincerity. Oh, hallelujah. Show me, Lord, my deceitful way. Everybody catching the path. It's not your friend. They're looking for that soft spot. Amen. To stick the knife in. You understand? Show me my deceitful way. We're done. And then, Lord, lead me. Lead me, and I'll follow. We sing a lot of songs. Where he leads you, you know, all those things that we grew up on. But when God is really leading you, you need to follow closely. Sometimes when you follow the shepherd, he leads you in a valley. But you have to make sure that you got there by following him. If you just hold on a little bit and just keep walking with him, he'll lead you out of the valley. Oh, hallelujah. Lead me, Lord, in the way everlasting. You see, the ways of the world are not everlasting. The ways of the world is not meant for you to be all that you can be. Oh, hallelujah. The ways of the world will kill you. Nobody gets out of this life alive. But we ought to at least enjoy the trip. Amen? Oh, thank you, Jesus. I know I spent my time, but I thank God today that he created me. I don't know about you, but I love me. Oh, thank you, Jesus. I love what God has done and is doing in my life. It's not all peaches and cream. Oh, hallelujah, I don't even like peaches and cream. But we thank God for all the bed of roses and some thorns and other things in there. Is that right? But I still praise him. Hallelujah. Because I'm here right now. Oh, thank here, and God made you to be who you are. Oh, hallelujah. Come stand on our feet. Who do you think you are? I want you to look in the eyes of your neighbor and repeat after me. Who do you think I am? Repeat this. I am who God says I am. I'm not who I think I am, nor who others want me to be. I am a creation of Almighty God, carefully planned, lovingly constructed, and wonderfully maintained. Now run and tell that.